Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Okay, here we go. Growing in Grace, the podcast at growingingrace.org. We are 20 years and strong going here on the Growing in Grace podcast. Hard to believe sometimes still. It has been 20 years, but it's been great talking about the love of God, the gospel, his gospel that he provided freely for us, the good news that we can be justified by faith and by nothing that we do. My goodness, I mean, if it had to do, Cap, if this had to do with our works, I mean, could you do it? I mean, I know I couldn't do it. You probably might be able to, but I don't know anyone who would be able to do it if we needed to be justified by what we do. There's no way, because the standard, you know, Jesus had said that you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the standard that he gave the Jews who were under the law. So if anyone can do it, hey, kudos to you, and you've effectively saved and justified yourself. But for all the rest of us, we're relying upon grace, man.
I think many years of my Christian life, I probably was trying to do enough. I didn't know how much that was going to be or how much was required, but I figured probably in the back of my mind, if I could do above the average, what is everybody else doing? Right. If I could beat them out, then that should put me in the upper echelon of being accepted by God, right?
Yeah, being graded on a curve, that type of thing.
Even though I would say all the right talking points, well, we're saved by grace through faith. Well, it's not by works, but then you go out there and you get sucked back in.
Right.
You know, religion, legalism, it always wants to elbow its way back in, at least into our mindset and sometimes into practice. And so it's a constant battle in this life anyway that I think tries to hold people down. And we're hopefully freeing some people up from that. You know, we talk these things out week after week because there's so much to learn, and we can understand it to a degree intellectually, but I think the reason we keep talking these things out is because God helps us to see things more uniquely, more differently, to grow in our understanding. When I say us, I mean all of us,
right?
And by talking these things out, hopefully it will bring us to a place of even greater freedom and peace and joy and all the good things that God wants us to experience in him.
Yeah, it has for me. I mean, when we talk about, you know, having done the podcast for 20 years, or you and me together for 30 years talking about this stuff together, and then just the online conversations and all kinds of other ways where we've met together in person with people throughout the years, whether it's at a church or at times, Cap, you and I have taught classes, or we've been able to talk about this wonderful gospel and help people to grow in their understanding, and we've grown right along with them. And I think, like you say, for everybody, for every person who's a believer, there's a growing process. We don't get it all. And if we've got 70, 80, 90 years, whatever the person has on this earth, we're still only going to hit the tip of the iceberg, and there's still always going to be a lot to learn. So none of us has the market corner on the truth when it comes to any of these things. So we talk it out. And what I told somebody not too long ago, you are free to listen to us and take it however you want. I mean, we're not trying to tell anybody here on the podcast or online or anywhere, this is the solid truth. And if you don't believe us, you're just believing deception, and you're just and you're wrong, and
false teaching,
right? All that stuff. I mean, that's not what we're about here. It's just we're two guys. It's what it's been all along, two guys talking, sharing the things that we've come to see and understand. And if you've listened to us long enough, you see that we've, you know, grown in our understanding, we'll sometimes be able to highlight things that we didn't see before, or maybe what we shared years ago, maybe we see it a little differently now. But it's okay, and that's good. You got to be able to have your mind to be free enough to know that the Lord has got you, whether you understand it all perfectly or not, and none of us does understand it perfectly.
I think it might have been the last program we did, Joel, that I made a comment that nobody has ever made faith perfect, or faith has never been perfected by what they do, including Abraham and Rahab.
Yeah.
Of course, that was a reference to James chapter 2. And I know that you brought out off the air here, you brought out some things about Rahab that I thought were kind of interesting. And so maybe we can talk about this a little bit, because, you know, James, again, as we've talked about before, we see the letter of James as at best a mixed covenant of works and law versus faith and grace. And some statements that were made were from that perspective of assuming that the law of Moses was still in effect. And one of the things that James said in chapter 2 is that, well, he talks about, let's see.
And I will, while you're looking, I will say that last week we did talk a little bit more about that, about why we're not down on James and why it's still good for him to be in the Bible. So go back and listen to that, so we won't need to really explain all that stuff again. But
yeah, it's hard to get it all in from week to week, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, we're not really down on this. Because once you begin to see it, once you begin to see the letter of James in context, it validates the rest of the writings.
I
think some people think that we're suggesting it shouldn't be in the Bible. James wasn't saved. We're not saying any of that. And if you, once you begin to see it, then it's a puzzle that fits beautifully into the New Testament pages. Mm-hmm. And so it's not really meant to be a criticism so much against James. It's just this law-based perspective that people like Paul were battling against. It kind of fits in, because most Jews after the cross still believed they were in relationship with the law. And to me, it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes at that time, as you said last week, but I understand why they would think that. Without a revelation that Jesus became the end of the law, a supernatural revelation, you're going to assume that law that they held so near and dear and embraced so much because of the historical heritage and everything that they thought that came with it, of course you're going to think that. It was almost like the law was still the substance and Christ became the icing on the cake. The cake came first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jesus became the icing or the frosting. But Paul explained that Christ is the substance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Works might be the frosting or the icing on the cake, but they don't justify or they don't save. And so in verse 20 of chapter 2 of James, do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So, Joel, I don't know if you want to start with Rahab, because that's what we talked about, but I covered quite a bit on Abraham there too.
Yeah, and what's interesting, one thing I'll bring out first is that, so sometimes when we do talk about James and what you just said about him being mixed covenant at best, they'll bring up, he does quote Genesis 15:6, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, if James would have left it at that, we could see, okay, so he's saying that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's it. End of story. It was just his simply by faith. But he adds all this other stuff to it. He says all this other stuff. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac? And likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and set them out another way? What you were just reading here, all this stuff. And for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And of course, he had also said, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we have talked a lot about Abraham in the past and how in Romans 4, Paul brings up Genesis 15:6. It says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And we put a period there, period. That's it. And Paul nails that to the wall right there, kind of like Luther did. I'm just kidding, but that's it. It's a person is justified by faith apart from works, just like Abraham. James adds to that, but we haven't really talked a whole lot about Rahab. Now, in the New Testament writings, Rahab is mentioned three times. Matthew 1:5, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. So it's one of the begat passages. It's one of the descendants. Hebrews 11:31. Now, in this whole chapter of Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews is talking about various things that people did by faith and things that happened by faith. And when we get to verse 30 of Hebrews 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, so people will say, see, that goes right along with James. Her works were justifying her. But that's just not true. What happened here with Rahab, it says she did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She wasn't justified when anything happened. She was justified when she believed. And we have, it actually shows in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, when Rahab believed. So when James says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? That's the third of three incident of Rahab in the New Testament scriptures. We would say no, she was not justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way. When was Rahab justified? Well, here's when Rahab was justified. And this all shows up in Joshua. And I won't read the whole story, but it is really interesting when we see how Rahab came to believe. Joshua 2, so the spies had come to Rahab's house. She hid them on the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. So this is Joshua 2, starting at verse 8 and 9, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how, this is Rahab telling when she believed. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. So who did that? Of course, the Lord did that. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, so this is Rahab and her fellow people, and she was a Gentile, and so she's talking about what had happened with the Jewish people. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you Israelites, operating under the power of the Lord. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Right there, Rahab is declaring the Lord your God, the God of the Israelites, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So right there, that is Rahab telling of when she believed. And that is when she was justified, when she believed, not when she did anything. So let's just say that what if Rahab was never given the opportunity to hide the spies on the roof and to lie and to open the door to the spy, you know, all that stuff. Let's just say, would she still be justified? Because James says that she was justified when she did that. It was her faith, but it was her works as well that were justifying her. let's just say she never got that opportunity. She still believed, and she was justified by faith alone. It wasn't her works that justified her. It was her faith alone, and it was the same with Abraham.
That's absolutely right. I mean, think about that. She professed the faith from within.
Right.
The faith was already there. The justification had nothing to do with what she did thereafter. Now, what she believed may have affected what she did,
right,
but if she hadn't done it, that wouldn't have changed her justification or her position with God as one who came to believe that God was God. And same is true with Abraham. If he had not sacrificed Isaac, that wouldn't have eliminated him from the righteousness that was accounted to him simply by believing. You know, Abraham believed God when he said that he would provide a child. It's not when Abraham agreed to kill the child that he became justified.
Right. So
once we begin to see some of these things and how they were written from a law-based perspective, then we can fit that piece of the puzzle, this letter of James, into the other things that we see in the New Testament, the writings of Paul and so forth. And that's a beautiful thing. So this is all good. Don't panic.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well,
Don't panic. But yeah. Joel, when I look at this again, do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Well, what did Paul say to the Galatians after they had had some Judaizers come around and say, well, you need to do some law stuff here too. It's not just about the Spirit. Paul says, this I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Something we were talking about back in Romans 10 a couple of weeks ago. Are you so foolish? Oh, there's that word foolish again. They're having a debate on who's the most foolish. having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect? Are you now being made perfect by what you do, by the flesh? You see the contrast there?
Complete 180 degrees difference. I mean,
yeah,
complete opposite.
It's right there. But people feel they need to defend the Bible because they think by James saying some things that were based on law instead of grace, they think that's a contradiction, that it's a compromise, that it's a sign that the Bible can't be validated, and they panic, and you know, they... Have you ever seen that Andy Griffith show where Gomer Pyle makes a citizen's arrest on Barney Fife?
Citizen's arrest.
Well, we got people coming around to us saying, legalist arrest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we get all kinds of, I will tell you the truth. We get a lot of positive feedback when we talk about this stuff, but when I would say
far more.
Yeah, far more. I'd say when it comes to the negative feedback, it's the type of things you're talking about. It's that we're discounting the Word of God, and that we're saying that God's inspired Word, that we're against God's inspired Word. You know, it just things like that. And really, going along with what you were just saying there, is that it fits into the big picture. If you understand it this way, if you can see the big picture, you can see all that was going on in those early years of the church. And as we've been talking about this week and last week, there was a growing process. And so if somebody had a law mindset like James, like Peter had, then that's what would come out of them. They would show that they're law mindset is what they believed would also justify a person. You know, like we talked about, Peter wouldn't go to the Gentiles. He didn't think he could. But when it comes to works, when Paul received the revelation of the gospel directly from God, it was by grace, through faith, apart from works, period. Nothing, no works added. No works had nothing to do with justifying anybody in front of God or in front of people. In fact, Paul had said that it's nothing to me to be justified in front of you at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 4. He doesn't have to be justified in front of other people. It doesn't matter. That's nothing. So, anyway, we've gone long on this one, but...
Sorry about that. Well, Joel, let me finish with this.
Sure.
You show me a religious dogma that declares that faith is determined to be dead or alive based on doing and works. And I'll show you a ministry that's probably not going to be based on faith, or at least has trace elements of legalism. It's like the weather forecast. Well, we have a 40% chance of legalism today. and so our goal here is to walk by faith, not by what we see.
Yes, indeed. And to know that we're justified and accepted by God, not by what we do, but by faith alone. We've been talking about how these apostles, even the ones who walked closely with Jesus, such as Peter, they said and did things that went contrary to the gospel in those early years. They had their own growing period, their own time of growth, and they're no different than us today. So we'll talk about how at least one time Peter said, God accepts those who work righteousness. And Paul said the opposite. Paul said that we're accepted by God's grace. So we'll talk about that and other things next week on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.